House Finance come to order. It's 1:38 p.m. on the 26th of March, 2013. We have members present: Representative Munoz, Representative Kawasaki, Representative Guerra, roundabout, Representative Costello, Stoltz, co-chair, Osterman, Representative Edgman, Representative Newman. I know we have... Oh, Representative Heron observing, and also the bill sponsor, Representative Hawker, and we have other members that are tending to other legislation as multitasking. I think we'll have that side of the Fairbanks delegation joining us shortly, and I believe Representative Holmes also had a bill up in committee, so they will be joining us in progress. And a member or two may have to leave at times, but it's this time of year when you're trying to multitask and work on various different committees. So the intent of today is we allotted time for public testimony. We will take the testimony we have here, and if there's a gap, we'll take a recess, and if we don't have any more by towards the end of the committee, we'll call and close the public testimony if this is the capacity. And also another bill sponsor, Representative Chenault, has joined us. The watchful eye is on us. Welcome, Speaker. So we'll start out, Assemblyman Davies. You'll lead us off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Representative John Davies, former representative, also.
As we start, I'm not going to set a time limit if folks go on for a moment, but this is an important topic, and we don't have a lot of folks, so we're going to be very liberal on allowing people time if they're making a point in sense, which I know was never a problem with you, Representative Davies.
Thank you. Well, I'll try to be brief, other members of the committee appreciate the chance to talk to you. I just wanted to bring to your attention a resolution that the Fairbanks North Shore Borough Assembly adopted in October 25th, which was a resolution identifying our 2013 legislative priorities. And on page 4 of that resolution, one of our community priorities was an in-state gas pipeline. Said the Fairbanks North Star Borough encourages the governor and the state legislature to support an in-state gas pipeline that will deliver gas to the interior and other regions of the state, ensuring long-term cost-effective fuel and energy throughout the state. So that's really my basic message, Mr. Chair, is that the borough is in favor of this solution, or in fact any solution that will bring gas to the interior. We testified yesterday on the trucking issue. We see that the gas trucking plan as a interim or shortstop plan to get us to the point where we actually get a more permanent solution in the form of a pipeline. And so the borough is appreciative of any solution that brings that forward. I'll also bring to your attention that we did pass a resolution earlier that supports the LNG line to Valdez. So we're supportive of this. I'm reminded of a former chair from your neck of the woods of this committee that used to say, some of my friends support this and some of my friends support that, and I agree with my friends. And in this case, we think that we have a lot of friends here, so we're hoping to be in agreement with all of them. The main thing is that we see that some kind of a permanent solution in the form of a gas pipeline is really important, but our situation is urgent. We want to do the gas trucking plan, and that fits with any of these, including this one that you're hearing today. So that's the short version of our testimony.
Any questions for Representative Guerra?
Thank you, John. I think you were clear, but if it turned out the larger volume pipeline, and let's say that one went to Valdez, not the HB4 one, produced cheaper in-state gas, more revenue for the state. I guess you wouldn't be able to speak for the borough, would you? But just with that on the table, what are your views?
Well, I think I made it clear. Either one is fine. We think that there are advantages and disadvantages to both of them, and that from the borough's perspective, the most important thing is that a vehicle be found and that we do that. It's been, what, 30, 40, 50 years since we've been talking about a gas pipeline. And there's a lot of good ideas out there. But the important thing is to find some consensus, find where the consensus is and move forward. And that's your job, frankly, not mine. So what we're trying to express is what our need is, and looking at those two proposals and others, those two in particular would help us. You know, there are pluses, like I said, there's pluses and minuses, but we don't want to be in the position of trying to choose winners at this point. We just would like to see something happen.
Thanks.
There is no ambiguity on your support of the one that the plan that takes gas to Fairbanks by 2015, though, right?
That's right.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Davies. Next, we have Tim Navarre. Welcome, Mr. Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Tim Navarre. I have a couple positions. I sit on the council in the city of Kenai. I also am a co-chair of the Community Advisory Council for the ASAP line. We've been meeting every month over the last year. Anchorage, Fairbanks, and other areas. Also participating in a number of different public hearings and testimony and chamber of commerce and so on, and getting input and trying to get answers for the public, and get AGDC to make sure those answers get or those questions get answered and those answers get back to the public. But I'm here myself personally today to ask you to move forward with House Bill 4. I believe it is the right move. I applaud the legislature in 2009 when they moved forward with this. And in 2009, I can tell you that we had already lost Agrium, but we hadn't lost ConocoPhillips. The South Central utilities weren't looking at importing LNG or spending dollars to engineer and design a concept so that they can be prepared to put gas in the lines if and when the Cook Inlet can't produce enough to supply that. And we certainly, in Fairbanks in 2009, they weren't looking at the equivalent of 25 CMF costs for utilities and that in their community. And so the fact that you funded the Alaska Gas Development Corp to that point, approximately $120 million at this point, and now you're looking at having to go the rest of the way so that Alaska can find out whether it has a successful open season and whether there's options there for a statewide, because natural gas has to be part of a statewide energy plan. And if our statewide energy plan includes natural gas that comes from imported LNG, I don't think that's a good plan for Alaska. And so I ask you to please seriously consider to continue to move this forward. I think it's the only alternative out there at this point, besides AGEA, but the only thing Alaska is actively working on and can under AGEA. And the second thing is that it also gives us what little leverage we do have in continuing to promote AGEA and move forward on it. And so for both those reasons, I think it's in the best interest of Alaskans to do that. And I know it's been tough. I know there's a lot of tough decisions. And just to end my comment, I guess I would like to say I've been thinking about this. I go back to 9/11 and Flight 93, that the 9/11 people are in the back of the plane and having to make a decision as to what to do. And to this day, somebody never asks you, why did they even try? Why did they do that? You never ask that, because they did something. and they made something happen. You can, even if you fail, you can be a success. But 10 years from now, if we're sitting around talking about what's there for us, where the natural gas, where it's coming from, and why we're not getting it from Alaska, then you might have to ask that question. But my only ending comment is, let's roll. Todd Beamer said it well. Thank you.
Yeah. Speaking of leverage, is this be a good time to ask you about supporting sending some fish up the drainage? No, I have to answer that, right?
I might give away all my leverage.
No, I will not assume any kind of reasonable attitude from Peninsula, so don't worry. You don't have to answer that question.
Okay.
So I'll take you off the unbarbed hook. That's the solution right now from the Peninsula, is to unbarb our hooks up in the valley. So, but this is a better idea than that.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Were you fishing for an answer, Mr. Chair?
You know what? I don't fish in waters where there's no fish. Unless I'm in this to sit in a drainage. Next, we have Rick Rogers from Anchorage.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Mr. Rogers.
Yeah, good afternoon, Co-Chair Stoltz and Osterman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rick Rogers, the Executive Director of the Resource Development Council. RDC is a statewide business association representing forestry, oil and gas, mining, tourism, and fishing industries. And I do note, RDC has been around almost 40 years, but back when it was formed in the 70s, it was under another name called OMAR. Its single focus was to develop a gas line off the North Slope. So I don't know if we're a very successful organization, but we're certainly persistent. So we support HB4, but I think it's important first to reflect on our diversity to appreciate the significance of RDC weighing in on this bill. That's because we represent producers of energy resources, including companies of all sizes developing and exploring for oil and gas on the North Slope, Cook Inlet, and in frontier basins. We also represent coal producers and potential coal producers. We represent renewable resource developers, including wind, biomass, and hydro. We represent electric and gas utilities with their mission to provide affordable and uninterrupted power and gas to Alaskans. And finally, we represent energy consumers in rural Alaska, in urban Alaska, commercial and residential, existing and potential consumers. Potential consumers like large mine projects that have yet to be developed and need significant energy. So given this diversity, we looked hard at HB4. We wanted to make sure that it didn't pit one energy resource against another. We feel that the best energy solutions for Alaskans are the ones that are going to provide the best value to consumers, balancing low costs with reliability over the long term. The invisible hand of the free market will result in the best energy solutions for Alaskans. HB4 provides the organizational structure, tools, and resources to advance an in-state gas project to an open season. It's an open season where the project can compete for the firm transportation commitments, and it will succeed or fail on its economic merits. We see HB4 providing an appropriate balance by providing public sector support early in the stages of the project, sufficient to bring it to an open season where the economics can determine its ultimate fate. Like most Alaskans, we remain hopeful that a larger diameter gas line to Tidewater will be sanctioned, perhaps making development of the standalone gas line as envisioned unnecessary. Should this occur, HB4 positions the Gas Line Authority to help expand intrastate gas transportation from the offtake points required in AGEA. We don't hold the view of some that the standalone gas line project somehow diminishes the prospects of a larger capacity line. At the end of the day, private enterprise in the marketplace will dictate the best gas line option, including its capacity and its terminus. Given our growing concerns for the unsustainable growth of state spending, we do encourage consideration of modifying the AGDC enabling legislation to consider a sunset provision should the agency in future circumstances be rendered obsolete or the mission unachievable. Until initial tariff projections by AGDC, while the initial tariff projections look encouraging, until we get to an open season, we don't really know the viability of the project. Delivering reliable and cost-effective energy to Alaskans is critical to the future prosperity of its people. HB4 is an appropriate means to advance the project to a point where the free market forces can determine its viability. That concludes my comments, Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Rogers? Thank you for testifying today, sir.
You bet.
Next, we have another one of those reasonable voices from the peninsula, Mr. Ron Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to speak. My name is Ron Long, and I'm speaking as a member of the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation Community Advisory Council, but also as a Rail Belt utility customer, which is, I guess, how I wound up being on.
Your sound is real low, Mr. Long. You might either get closer to the mic or phone or whatever you're at.
Okay, I'm trying a little bit louder.
All right,
any better?
We got you.
Okay, thank you, sir. And I'll repeat the first part. I'm speaking as a member of the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation's Community Advisory Council, but also as a Rail Belt utility customer, which is, I guess, how I wound up being on that committee in the first place, for a bunch of us similarly situated. And I just want to urge the committee to keep this process moving. The easiest thing in the world for me to say would be to build us a big line to Seward and we'll export it from here. But the reality is that, that's so far down the road that we need to think of a near-term solution. When the GIA process was initiated back a few years ago, I don't think we were envisioning the crisis for the rail belt utilities that we've been presented with here lately, and looking at a projected shortfall within the next couple of years and some pretty dire and drastic options to try to make up for that shortfall. And so I want to just, urge us to keep that moving so that we can address those critical needs in the near term. And, we weren't also looking at $4 plus heating oil at the same time. So those combined have forced us into a position where we really have to look at what's doable in the near term, not excluding the bigger pictures that we all hope for. And I think we've heard that previous testimony that'll come along, and they're not exclusive projects. One doesn't preclude the other. This one is the one right now that has permitting, the engineering, the background work, and some of the legwork done through previous work of the corporation and previous appropriations from the legislature to get it underway and provide us with some near-term solutions for the most users and the most areas facing the crisis right now, with the possibility of extending gas to other parts of the state as the process moves ahead. If the other projects, if the AGEA process or the MVP concept moves closer to reality, we can certainly piggyback and further and aid in the development of those. But I don't think in the meantime that moving this process ahead will do any harm to either of those processes. May in fact aid them, and so we can get to a point where we'll let the market take over and put it to work. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
And I'm glad you recognize Seward probably isn't the port. I think we all know that Port McKenzie is the real export port of the future, and Seward is, with their litigation and other environmental issues, has probably put you in the past. Thank you, Mr. Long. Is Governor Sheffield online?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome, Governor.
Thank you very much. Is it my turn here?
It's your turn. Everybody has been waiting.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, you and the committee, for the opportunity to testify. As HB4 is about to be taken up, this may well be the most important vote you've had to consider in this session. If this bill passes, it's another important step to delivering a long-term affordable source of energy to a large part of Alaska's population. It will help lead to jobs, both during construction of the in-state gas line and, of course, ongoing jobs in production and delivery of the gas afterwards. It also has the possibility of allowing the Adrian plant on the Kenai Peninsula to reopen, which lost 125 jobs when it shut down because of the dwindling gas supply from Cook Inlet. It also could help Flint Hills Refinery in Fairbanks to return to full operations as opposed to running at about one-third of the capacity right now. And it will help Fairbanks both in resolving serious air quality issues and allowing its residents to heat their homes and cook their meals without having to face roughly the equivalent of a mortgage payment and monthly energy costs. There are also important benefits it can bring to proposed mining operations at Livengood and Donlin Gold Prospect. Both need affordable energy to operate, and if they can get it, even more jobs will resort. For instance, in the case of Donna Gold Mine, 3,000 jobs over about a 3 or 4 year period to open up the mine, and 1,500 jobs a year thereafter. That's pretty good. And considering the Alaska Railroad, for example, Flint Hills used to ship 130 rail cars of product down to the Anchorage port, which was jet fuel and car gasoline, other products, and naphtha, which they shipped to South America or Asia, 130 rail cars a day. Now, they shut down two stacks because of the cost of heating with oil, the plant, and so they ship 20 rail cars down 5 days a week. You can see the difference. Now, we got all of our jet fuel for the Anchorage Airport from Asia, three ships a month coming in, and car gasoline's coming in from the lower 48. So, all this doesn't make a lot of sense. When you can create thousands of good jobs and lower the cost of living for Alaskans, you've had a pretty good day. The in-state line prospect headed up by Dan Foskey and his people at the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation has moved leaps and bounds forward. Under the authority given them by the creation of the Alaska Gas Development Corporation within the AHFC, they've made great strides in completing an environmental impact statement and securing most of the right-of-way of approvals. They're working hard every day to keep the momentum going. This is not just a concept anymore. This is a project that we can do, and passing HB4 is critical to moving it further along. It can get the project to open season, where sellers and buyers of gas can be identified, and hopefully will lead to construction beginning by within a few years, and gas flowing afterwards. Open season could be finished by the end of 2014, and take 2015 to tidy up things on permits and so on and so forth, and getting a contract in place. So you can set a contract and have the gas line finished 2019. In my mind, gas is for Alaskans to use, separate from the billion in oil revenues we have depended on to provide services to the public through the state's operating capital budgets. Gas is for Alaskans, and oil is for the state budget. We were given the right to become a state because we argued to Congress that we could take care of ourselves. This project will allow us to support our own energy needs at an affordable cost for many generations. I'm not a paid lobbyist for this project. I have no current or future stake in it financially. My interest comes from being an Alaskan for more than 60 years and the fact that I care about the long-term well-being of our present and future citizens of Alaska. Lastly, I wish I could have been there with you to testify in person, but I had previous commitments here in the Kenai. I appreciate the opportunity to extend me to speak with you by telephone, and I'll answer any members of the questions that you might have of me. Thank you very much for allowing me to talk to you today.
Thank you. Any questions for Governor Sheffield from Representative Hocker? Did you have something?
Representative Hocker, District 27. I wasn't going to say anything, but since Rep. Stoltz pointed at me, I just would like to say thank you to Governor Sheffield for the sincere personal effort he's putting into this. He's, needless to say, he's a longtime friend of my family, my wife's family, and I know I very much appreciate his sincerity. Thank you, Governor.
Thank you.
Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Governor, I don't think I heard it very well, so I'm not sure. Did you say that this pipeline would be directed towards the Kenai area to help the Conoco plant and possibly restart the Agrium plant?
I didn't really talk about it, but I can, Representative Garrett, through the chair. The gas line is planned to come down to the Matanuska Valley in the Palmer area, where the gas is taken out of there now and trucked to Fairbanks and so on and so forth. There is pipelines going underneath the inlet over to Nikiski at the present time, and so the answer really is yes. That line would connect up to get gas to Nikiski if we were to sell excess gas to wherever it could be taken out of that way.
Thank you, Governor. I just thank you, Governor. That's fine. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you for your continued public interest as a citizen in this issue. And I know in your term, probably one of the crowning achievements of us bringing economic development to rural Alaska, Northwest Alaska. I think that would be a region of Alaska without the hope and degree of prosperity, economic and otherwise. It would be a lot bleaker if you hadn't done what you did over a lot of obstacles, getting in the Red Dog mine and then creating Ada, which without Red Dog being pushed through and actually creating Ada as the entity we owe it right now, that we know it as right now, we probably wouldn't be talking about the Fairbanks gas trucking without that entity to assist. So I just wanted to acknowledge the chain of events you were involved with that brought us to some of our opportunities today. So thank you very much, sir, for over 25 years ago, and for whatever your level of agreement or disagreement you have with the governor's position, I wanted to acknowledge his continued activism and for the betterment of Alaska. Thank you, Governor.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, hopping up to the Fairbanks Legislative Information Office, David Pruse. Is Fairbanks LI hooked up? They're probably on mute. We'll give them a moment. At least this isn't live radio, so we don't have expectation of entertaining you. Oh, no, don't get me started. That's dangerous territory. It's idle time for me.
Yes, Representative Stoltz, are we there?
Yes, we're here, and we're glad you're there. Mr. Pruse, go ahead and identify
yourself. I'd like to, first of all, thank again Representatives Chenault and Hocker for introducing legislation to hopefully bring us a long-term solution for our energy costs. This House bill in front of you will do a long way to secure both Fairbanks and Interior and the state of Alaska with a long-term energy solution. The direction of this gas line would benefit approximately 75% to 80% of the state of Alaska. This bill, while helping us on, will get us regulatory permits, reacquisition, and the engineering needed to accomplish this task. Just before I came over here, I went and bought more fuel, and this morning's price for below ground tanks was $3.77 a gallon, and above ground tank was at $4.00 a gallon. Well, you as a finance committee may look at the price of oil, and as it goes up, you might be saying, go, go, go. Up here, we're saying, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. And this is the one bill for a long-term solution that can rectify the difference between how we think and, as a legislative body, what you must try and do. So I thank you for hearing this, and I hope you do recommend passing of this House bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Don't see any questions. Staying in Fairbanks, Bob Shefchik.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Finance Committee members. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Bob Shefchik. I'm the chair of the Chamber Energy Committee and chair of the Interior Gas Utility Board, and I'm here today to speak in support of House Bill 4. The ASAP line and House Bill 9 were priorities of the Greater Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce and part of their mid-range solution to energy problems of the interior and the state last year. While the numbers change, and this year it's House Bill 4, the support remains. Piped gas is still seen by most as the best way to transport gas from the North Slope. It just requires more demand and a longer time frame than the gas trucking project you heard about yesterday. Despite that, pipe gas remains the long-term solution to allow Alaskans to access North Slope natural gas. House Bill 4 creates the entity and provides the underpinnings for an in-state line from the North Slope. The economics will prove out in the development of the project, not in media buys we read in the Sunday paper. We support the state continuing to build on the work of AGDC to the point that financing can be proved out. The entity created by House Bill 4 allows us all to get to that point. I can tell you in general, the approach and goal of House Bill 4 are supported by the Chamber and IGU. Even though the community's main focus has been on short-term solutions, primarily because of those high costs that we face every day, we value the work of the sponsors and AGDC and the hard work they're putting into developing the next steps to energy stability for Alaska. We appreciate that hard work and all the effort it will take to pull off successful completion of a line. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I don't see any questions, so we'll go next to Jim Plaquette. And correct my pronunciation when you introduce yourself.
Yes, sir. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and committee members for letting me testify in front of you. My name is Jim Plackey. I'm a membership and events coordinator for the Alliance and a 40-year resident of Fairbanks. HB4 and the Alaska Standalone Pipeline will provide the most cost-effective and time-sensitive schedule for developing a long-term, affordable energy solution for Fairbanks and Alaska. HB74 is the short-term energy solution for Fairbanks, and the long-term energy solution is HB4. Fairbanks and Alaska needs energy, and HB4 provides the Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to serve as Alaska's natural gas pipeline corporation, giving Alaskans the needed energy they need for space heating and economic survival. HB4 directs Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to carry 500 million cubic feet per day pipeline from the North Slope to Fairbanks and South Central at the lowest possible cost without delay. HB4 provides Alaska Gas Line Development Corporation to consider other in-state natural gas projects and participate for Alaskans a larger pipeline to Tidewater with an LNG export component, like the project advocated by the governor. HB4 empowers AGDC to act on behalf of Alaskan interests in providing natural gas to Alaskans. This legislation calls on state and local governments to participate in ways that will reduce the rates Alaskans pay for natural gas. The high cost of energy is crippling the interior and rural Alaska, and it can't continue, and HB4 is the long-term solution for Alaska. HB4 will make low-cost energy to citizens of Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members, for letting me testify.
Thank you, Mr. Plackey, for your testimony. Staying in Fairbanks at the LIO, we'll go next to Jomo Stewart. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Jomo Stewart, and I'm Energy Project Manager for the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation. And though the board has not taken an official position on HB4, the president and I did want to go on record in support of HB4. Regarding energy, you know, it's kind of cliche, but it's true. You know, energy is a necessary component of any modern economy. It is a fundamental underpinning of any and every modern economy. And the availability of energy and its affordability are critical, either for greasing the wheels of progress and the road to prosperity or draining the well. In general, FEDC is supportive of any project or projects that link Alaska's two great oil and gas producing provinces and to connect as a corridor for making natural gas and energy generally available and more accessible to Alaskans through Alaska. Not just in support of the economy we have today, but to provide the fuel to pursue and achieve opportunities as we build the economy we'd like to see tomorrow. And regarding the corporation itself, we are also generally supportive of the advancement of mechanisms that allow Alaska to more actively and fully participate in the development of its resources, in partnership as much as possible, of course, but also with more independence if necessary. We believe HB4 provides and supports all of those things. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, committee. And again, we would like to voice our support for HB4.
Thank you. And during the previous testimony, Representative Wilson joined us some time ago. Welcome. Staying at the Fairbanks LIO, we have Mr. Pierce, Merrick Pierce.
Hi, good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Merrick Pierce, good to speak with you today. Appreciate you bringing forward the public testimony that you are. As we think about House Bill 4, what must not be ignored is that the Asian markets have expressed interest in 6 billion cubic feet per day of gas, which is more than enough gas to fill a large Canada gas line that has economy of scale. That brings Alaskans, according to Wood Mackenzie, hundreds of billions of dollars in new revenue, and Alaskans with the most affordable energy. Yet the state's partner in this, AG Endeavor, who have been paid $305 million in public funds, is non-responsive. The solicitation of interest that Exxon held in September, we nominated 3 billion cubic feet for the Alaska Gas Line Port Authority, and I know another company came in, REI, they wanted 3 billion, but our partner in this endeavor has failed to respond, and it's been 6 months, and I just wanted to put that into the record because that's an effort that the legislature's been funding. First, I want to make it clear that this House Bill 4, this whole project concept of a bullet line, it's not what Alaska voters voted for in a 2002 statewide election where they created the Alaska Natural Gas Line Development Authority. And I really think the Alaska voters had it right. One of the major problems with the bullet line is that this project does not have economy of scale, and it has a really huge significance. First, let's look at the debt and equity returns. They're just enormous. If you had a 75-25 debt-to-equity ratio, your combined debt and equity service costs are going to be close to $500 to $600 million a year. And if you evenly apportion those costs over 400,000 rail belt users, it comes out to about $1,400 per person for debt and equity service per year. So it's fair to say the enormous debt and equity return costs for this project will cost Alaskans an amount equivalent to the value of their permanent fund dividend checks each year. There are two things you must research and understand. Both of these directly relate to gaining buyers for expensive bullet line gas, both for the in-state and the export markets. The first is, and I think we all understand this, there's lots of shale gas in Lower 48. There's so much shale gas in the Bakkens that you see so much flaring in North Dakota that when you look at satellite imagery at night of the Bakkens, the whole area of North Dakota looks like a major U.S. City at night. And, of course, the Henry Hub price is around $3 right now, so it's a fair question. Why would a gas buyer pay 2 to 3 times the Henry Hub price for gas from an uneconomic bullet line? And the fact of the matter is they're not going to do that. And the second point that's really important is in-state gas supplies in the Cook Inlet, 19 trillion cubic feet, to 200-year supply, based upon existing rail belt usage. And you know, everybody that knows anything about what's going on in the Cook Inlet, Buckner Energy, NORDAC, Commissioner Dan Sullivan, Escapeta Hillcorp, USGS, DOE, they're all telling us the same thing. And the legislature had a consultant came in, and they said, I think it was PFC consultant, said for $2 billion you can draw out the Cook Inlet over the next 10 years. So you compare that cost, that $2 billion cost, to the $10 billion price tag of a bolt line. You ask, what's the lower number? Drawing out the Cook Inlet Basin is the cheaper way to go. So a fair question for your consideration is, can we accomplish our objectives faster and cheaper? Can we come together as a state and work for a common objective? Well, the question I put is, what alternative should we consider? Well, we have tools, and I got to give some credit to the Alaska Gas and Development Corporation. It has some fine technical people.
So one of the tools that we have that we didn't have 5 years ago is there's a publicly owned right-of-way between Big Lake and Fairbanks, paid for with state dollars. The other thing that we have today that we didn't have even a couple of years ago is the new spoolable high-pressure pipe that can install very quickly at a fraction of the cost of your conventional steel pipe. And for later in a material price of $200 million, you can run an 8-inch flex steel pipeline from Representative Newman's district to Big Lake all the way up to Representative Fannie Wilson's district. Here's the take-home message. For less than half of what some would like to spend in more studies for a project that is clearly uneconomic and will not deliver gas at the end of the decade, we can get gas to Fairbanks in the entire Parks Highway corridor next year. That would include Denali, Cantwell, Healy, and Enana. 99% of the 300-mile route from Big Lake to Fairbanks can be laid with 5 work crews in about 60 to 90 days. That's how revolutionary this new spoolable pipe is. The installation costs are really simple and they're really fast. You dig a trench, you make up your couplings, you kick the pipe in the trench. And one 8-inch pipe can deliver an astonishing 8.4 to as much as 11 billion cubic feet of gas per year, depending on the number of compressors used. And I said, give this project to AGDC. They have some very good technical people. Tell them to get it done. Treat this pipeline like any other critical state infrastructure, like airports or highways or bridges. And I also point out, Mr. Chairman, that this concept of using a small bore pipeline integrates well with the Cook Inlet development. The developers in the Cook Inlet, I've had a lot of good talks with Bucker Energy, very much would like to have Fairbanks as a market for their gas. It's a good thing for Cook Inlet development for them to have more markets. And, of course, the small bore spoolable pipeline integrates well with the Nana Basin gas development, which the legislature has wisely funded. And if Doyen is able to find gas in that basin, they've got the infrastructure to be able to get gas to Fairbanks. And, of course, this infrastructure integrates well with the large pipeline, as when we get the large pipeline built, this pipeline can be reversed. We can run the gas from north to south. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll be available for any questions, and I will be providing the committee with some detailed PowerPoint presentations that I'll ask that be put into the record for this bill.
I was just going to make that inquiry. You threw out a lot of numbers and facts, and it was hard to follow all of them, so we'll look forward to getting those. Questions for Mr. Pierce? Well, thank Representative Guerra. Oh, okay. The raised pen. I never know your posture there. No. Yeah, go ahead and send those to the chairman's office, and we'll distribute them to the committee as part of the record. Thank you, Mr. Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, we have Mr. Fauske. He's just online. We'll have him as a more active participant in the committee discussion. But he is online paying attention. Right, Mr. Fauske? You're awake? Okay. Diantha Crockett?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. I am listening.
Okay, somebody. Okay, good to hear from you, Mr. Fauske.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Same here.
All right, off net, we have Diantha Crockett.
Yes, thank you. You hear me okay?
Yep. Go ahead and proceed with your testimony.
Great, thanks. For the record, my name is Diantha Crockett, Executive Director of the Alaska Miners Association. We are a statewide business association representing the 7 large mines that you're probably familiar with, as well as hundreds of placer miners with very small operations, contractors and vendors that do business with the industry. We are basically the umbrella association for the mining industry in the state. Obviously, the intent of this legislation and the intent of pursuing large energy projects like this is to relieve Alaska and our residents of our dire energy situation. And for that reason alone, AMA would be supportive of it. But moving further into the benefits, large mines in our state struggle with power at a substantial level, and so AMA is incredibly supportive of this bill. It's hard for my mines that I represent to explain to their management and shareholders why on earth it's so expensive to operate a mine here. Even with really high commodity prices like we've seen in recent years, the companies face a constant cost-benefit analysis. And Alaska is simply a really expensive place to operate. Because mines are so power-intensive, energy is a really huge part of that cost situation. You can believe that mining companies, when they look into developing prospects here, it can be a great prospect and all the stars are aligned, but the lack of infrastructure makes them think twice about it very often. So energy solutions like this are very, very beneficial to my industry. In addition to solutions for the industry, we're actually part of the solution as well. When looking at massive projects like this one, people pursuing it like you guys need to be sure that the market and the consumer base exists to supply to create the demand that the supply would provide from this project. And as I just mentioned, our mines need a lot of power. Our hard rock mines here that are already open need around 50 megawatts of power, and there's development projects on the horizon that we know about that need, some need 100 and some need 500. It's a large, large amount of power needed for these, and so we really stand to add to the consumer base drastically and justify really large projects like this. In addition, some of our large projects on the horizon are pursuing gas pipelines directly to their projects, and that really stands to benefit their surrounding communities right now, which are largely run on diesel power. Very, very expensive for those residents, as you've heard already. AMA believes HB4 allows us to pursue a natural gas solution that benefits the residents, like I've mentioned, as well as gives us commercial viability to market our gas outside, which is just great for the state. So we are very supportive of HB4, and we hope that you'll move it out of committee. In addition, we did submit a letter that you guys should have a copy of.
Thank you, Ms. Crockett. I don't see any questions, so we will continue off net. Go, I believe, to Gacona. Mr. LeMaster, are you online?
I am. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to folks today. I have to apologize for my raspy voice. Happens every winter about this time, but spring is just around the corner. I come to you today as the director of the Alaska Natural Gas Pipeline Coalition. The coalition is a group of organizations and towns that have presented us with resolutions in favor of the gas pipeline running from North Slope to the deepwater port in Prince William Sound. And the representatives, some of the representatives of that organization or this organization are the Fairbanks North Star Borough and the City of Fairbanks and Delta North Pole, the Copper Valley Chamber of Commerce, the City of Valdez, and others. We are concerned about HB4 for the reason that it seems to be targeted at placing natural gas in the Anchorage Bowl and surrounding areas in a way that would not benefit many of the residents along the TAPS corridor. And as a result of that, we feel that this is about making a decision that's best for all Alaskans, not just the few recipients that would benefit from a smaller diameter pipeline to port in Cook Inlet or Nikiski. Recently, I was able to sit in on a group of producers presenting their findings to the House Resources Committee at a lunch and learn session in Juneau. In their presentation, they noted several issues that will determine, according to them, the feasibility of building a gas line from Alaska for use by our communities. And a few of those conditions are, one, the line must be a high-pressure line. They emphasize that. The line should be at least 42-inch line. The line must run from the North Slope to Tidewater. The line must be able to carry sufficient loads of natural gas that can be liquefied for sale and transport to the Pacific Rim countries. And five, the port of embarkation to those countries must be from a deep water port. All of those issues that they brought up seem to support a line along the TAPS corridor as was presented by ANGA and also supported by AGEA. And the line proposed by HB4, known as the Alaska Standalone Pipeline, and otherwise referred to as ASAP or the Bullet Line, will be a thin wall line, low volume, low pressure, carrying dry gas with no export component for only a certain Alaskan communities approved by the Alaska Gas Development Corporation. This means that natural gas liquids would remain on the North Slope and would not be available for consumption or for sale to Alaskans or other places. We had a couple of open seasons under AGEA, most recently in 2012, and the results of those remain confidential. And we, quite frankly, have no idea what happened. This bill only gets the state to another open season, and that could take another year or two or more, with no guarantees that the producers will agree to send a product through the line. ASAP will not carry LNGs, allowing for the creation of thousands of value-added legacy jobs. ASAP will not provide desperately needed revenue for the state from a large export of LNG to Pacific Rim countries. And by all accounts, ASAP will not lower energy costs to South Central Alaska. In fact, because of after construction is complete, the line fully funded by the state will be sold to private companies to operate, possibly NSTAR. The cost to the consumer will likely increase prices, and they'll escalate with little control from state regulatory agencies. We think this is a dangerous thing. Asian buyers have expressed interest to ship purchase twice the amount of gas necessary for a viable project. We have a viable project under AGEA for which the state has already paid $300 million to this point. We also have a great deal of viable information from over 10 years and $11 million worth of work done by the Alaska Natural Gas Development Association under the directive by the vote of the people demanding that the state build a gas line to Valdez. So why are we spending $400 million more to redo the work that's already been done? We have a project ready to move forward. A large volume line with export component will lower energy costs for all Alaskans through the economies of scale. A large volume line with export component will provide a source of energy for all Alaskans. A large volume high pressure line to deep water port with an export component will provide a much needed source of revenue to the state. And only one project under consideration by the residents, the communities, the businesses, and energy organizations across the state meet all those requirements. That project is the one along the Taft-Richardson Highway corridor to Valdez. We ask you to consider spending the above $400 million that's left under AGEA on the LNG trucking project, probably about $250 million of that for Fairbanks, and retrofit the Nikiskie plant for regasification for Cook Inlet and for interim measures, and spend the remaining $70 million on a proven viable project, the large volume gas line to Tidewater with an export component in Prince William Sound. And with that, we ask you to please consider a no vote on House Bill 4.
Thank you
for your opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Alan. We have questions from Representative Wilson and then Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to clarify. So are you speaking on behalf of the Fairbanks North Star Borough?
I'm speaking on behalf of the coalition, and the Fairbanks North Star Borough is one of the members of that coalition.
Follow-up, sir.
Representative Wilson.
So when you're saying, you know, they're part of that, yeah. So did you take a vote in which the Fairbanks North Star Borough had, I guess, delegate, I'm not sure, somebody on that board who says that they are against this project? Because we've had them here to testify before us that they are in favor of this. So I want to make sure that, you know, if you're a group, that's fine. But, you know, do you have permission of the borough as a whole, the city of North Pole or Fairbanks, to be speaking on their behalf?
Last year, we presented our position to the North Star Borough and the city of Fairbanks, and we explained to them that we were asking at that time for their support, and if they did support us, we wanted them to pass a resolution to that effect. They did pass the resolution. They sent it to us. We have that resolution on file. And in fact, I sent that resolution along with all the other resolutions that we received from all of those communities that I mentioned at the beginning of my testimony to the House Resources Committee. And those resolutions, if you have the information from House Resources, those resolutions should be included in that packet.
Mr. Chair, if he could send it to you, the resolution that specifically states that the borough that I have residents of that are against HB4 specifically, not last year, I would appreciate that he do that.
Alan, why don't you send them to my office and we'll distribute them. Maybe some of these things didn't get transferred up, so we want to make sure the record is complete. So,
Chairman Stoltz, I'd be more than happy to do that. I did it last month, and I'll be happy to do it again.
Yep, thank you. And it's Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just going to repeat what Representative Wilson had to say. In our packets, we have a resolution supporting House Bill 4 from the City of North Pole and the City of Fairbanks, and I just wanted to reiterate that.
Well, we'll make sure we get the record cleared up. I know Mr. LeMaster, I'm sure that those were accurately passed, and we'll make sure that the record is complete. So it's our intent to have all the information before us, not...
I would just like to say this, that it's obvious to me, and I think to an awful lot of people in the state, that Fairbanks has really difficult issues surrounding the cost of energy in their community, and we understand that fully. They are, or at least we talked about this with them, paying something around 21 cents a kilowatt hour for electricity in Fairbanks. We in Copper Valley are paying 35, 36 cents a kilowatt hour, and this winter it's gone up. I mean, it's been absolutely critical. Our energy rates have, I won't say they've doubled, but they have gone up exponentially in the last several months, and it's just getting worse and worse, to the point where some of our businesses in this valley are considering, well, they would like to sell, but it's awful difficult to find a buyer when energy costs are what they are. It's very difficult to bring in new businesses in a community of energy costs at that level. And therefore, there are some of our very major businesses in this valley that are considering closing their doors. And with that will come a diminishing of the population, which is already on a decline. Our school systems have seen a major decline over the last 3 or 4 years, and that will continue to happen if businesses continue to leave this valley. I believe the same thing is true in Valdez and Delta and Tok and all the places in East Alaska. If East Alaska is going to survive as a viable community for commerce in the state of Alaska, we have to have low-cost energy. We don't, and I would fully support HB4 if somebody will step forward, tell me how they're going to reduce energy costs in East Alaska when they build a small diameter pipeline to Anchorage. That's
thank
all
you.
It would take. But so far, nobody's been able to do that.
And thank you, Alan. Well, I know Assemblyman Davies did reference that the North Star Borough, and we'll get the copies, and the members can evaluate when they were passed, and so we'll have all the full information. So
that's fine. I'd be happy to get those out to you within the next day.
All right. Thank you very much.
You have to thank you for the opportunity.
Staying in the Copper Valley region, Mr. Hoke.
Yes, Representative Schultz. Thank you very much. My name is Jason Hoke. I am the Executive Director of the Copper Valley Development Association. We are the regional arter of the Copper Valley. I'm also President of the Board of Directors for the Alaska Partnership of Economic Development. I'm calling today in support of HB4 because, unlike the predecessor on the phone, Mr. LeMaster, I believe that the state needs to move forward, period, with energy solutions. And I believe HB4 will help provide a solution for some of the energy issues that are facing a majority of the populace of the state. Although it would be nice to have another pipeline running on this side of the state, after research, I see the numbers really aren't there. While I try and remain agnostic over placement of a pipeline, it just seems much more logical to go on that side of the state. Copper Valley Development is also in charge of the regional energy plan out here with the Alaska Energy Authority. We do have some gas out here, and I think that HB4 provides for expansion in networking of other smaller gas lines as well, which could be a possibility down the road. But nonetheless, we need to take this first step and move the state forward. And although, Representative, you're well aware that I champion my region quite often, I am here to champion for the state of Alaska and move this bill through.
Thank you, Mr. Hoke. We'll go back. Was there anybody still at the Fairbanks LIO that hadn't testified yet? We'll take another
point.
Oh, go ahead.
Chairman, this is Ken Hall up here in Fairbanks.
Go ahead, Mr. Hall.
Thank you. I hope I didn't just jump right on in there. But
I invited Fairbanks.
Well, anyhow, thank you very much for allowing me to speak, Mr. Chairman and committee. It's got to be an exciting time to be in the legislature. Before you, there's a tremendous opportunity to move the state forward or leave the status quo. Unfortunately, I don't think the status quo has served us well over the years, and I think you have the opportunity to move the state forward. Although the in-state gas line is a tremendous benefit for interior residents in South Central, I think there's tremendous benefits throughout Alaska for the development of the in-state gas line. It simply just needs to move forward. We cannot stay status quo any longer. To stay status quo will take us backwards. There's alternatives to the in-state gas line. There's the trucking option. The trucking actually, see it as provides an opportunity to build on out the service. There's the large diameter gas line at $45 to $65 billion. It's a tremendous undertaking. We have little control over it. Is it necessarily something that we can move forward with and we have a great deal of control over? We've been working on it for many, many years. As a matter of fact, many people have been planted in the ground before there's ever been any pipe placed in the ground. And the gas into Fairbanks can provide tremendous benefits. One of the things is the 2.5 parts per billion. I have firsthand experience of people who have had health issues with the coal and wood smoke in Fairbanks. To have gas in the Fairbanks, it isn't going to happen overnight. It's going to trying to build on out. However, it'll provide the opportunity, and that's the responsibility of the state government to set the stage for opportunity. So with that, I thank you very much and hope House Bill 4 continues on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. I don't see any questions. Next, we'll go to the Valdez Legislative Information Office. We have Mr. Wegner.
Good afternoon, Representatives Osterman and Stoltz, co-chairs, and members of the committee. My name is Todd Wegner. I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak. I urge you to make the right choice for generations of Alaskans and vote no on House Bill 4. ASAP does not solve the short-term energy crisis in the interior or Cook Inlet, nor does it solve the decades-long energy crisis still facing rural Alaskans every day. Nor does ASAP solve the long-term energy and fiscal needs of the state. Why then are we pursuing it? House Bill 4 spends $400 million to only get us to another open season. Two open seasons have already been held under the AGEA process. One just last year, at which Asian buyers expressed interest to ship purchase twice the amount of gas for a viable project. The only project that addresses the long-term energy and fiscal needs of the state, a maximum volume line to Tidewater, with an export component. Last year's open season proved it was a viable project. Through economies of scale, this project will provide lower cost energy to all Alaskans. Interim solutions for Cook Inlet and the interior will be necessary under any gas line scenario. Please spend the $400 million on the LNG trucking program for Interior and the renovation of the Nikitsky plant for Cook Inlet. Then focus our time, money, and energy on a project that will benefit Alaskans for many generations. So I would urge you to please vote no on House Bill 4. The future of the state is in your hands. And I thank you for allowing me to testify today.
Any questions for Mr. Wegner? We're going to allot a specific amount of time under invited testimony for the city of Valdez. They have one of their representatives requested that, so we'll hear from the city of Valdez again for a block of time, a little bit longer than normal public testimony. Let's see, next I have signed up John L. Cantor from the National Education Association to speak on their position. They're declining. Okay. We have Mr. Bitney. Are you still here? Welcome.
Good
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the House Finance Committee. My name is John Bitney, and I am here as the state government liaison for the North Slope Borough. I just wanted to briefly...
Is that a lobbyist, or what does that mean?
No, sir. I am an employee of the North Slope Borough as their state government liaison, and I'm here in that capacity today. So
I'm just trying to, I'm trying to learn this stuff. Please go ahead.
I realize I wear other hats in the building, but that's why I'm here today and offer this for the record.
We don't wear hats in this committee. No. Please proceed.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I would just wanted to reference a letter that hopefully is in the members' packet from February 28th from the mayor. She couldn't testify today because she's in a budget workshop in Barrow, but wanted to reference the letter on the record. The letter speaks to the need to develop the state's natural gas resources to try to provide access to them for Alaskans to lower energy costs. We also, of course, are excited to see the development on the North Slope. It's good for our communities, and it's good for other communities in the state. The letter also just speaks to the need to work together as Alaskans in order to solve these issues. It references this as a long-term solution, and I would just add that a letter was also written in support of the trucking proposal to the piece of legislation that authorizes that. And thank you for this opportunity.
Please, we want a lot of questions for Mr. Bitney. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd be happy to help. So could you please tell me, in your capacity working for the North Slope, why the North Slope Borough pulled out of the other plan that we have heard of with the Port Authority?
That precedes my time with the borough, Mr. Chairman. I do know that they did pull out, I'm not able to testify as to the reason why. I know that was some time ago. I'd be happy to get some information if the committee would like that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions for Mr. Bitney? Thank you, Mr. Bitney. We enjoyed your testimony. Is there anybody else that was signed up that we didn't call on? Any of the sites? We'll pass by anybody in Anchorage at the LIO. Anybody in Fairbanks that has not and wishes to testify? Anybody in the Valdez LIO? Anybody still on our off networks, individual sites that is online and wishes to testify? Anybody in the room? And I'm not trying to invite testimony. I'm just trying to make sure that we don't cut this off prematurely. Last call for public testimony. And briefly at ease while we wait to... To brief at ease, we have one remaining individual from the Anchorage LIO, Sam Maloney. It's a Mr. Maloney anyway. I wonder if it's Tom Maloney.
Good afternoon.
That was my suspicion.
My name is Sam Maloney. My testimony this afternoon is being read by my father, as I'm a full-time student at UAA, majoring in welding and non-destructive technology and graduating this May.
Okay, this is Tom Maloney, and you're reading the testimony of a younger Maloney named Sam.
That's correct.
Okay.
I fully support House Bill 4, which has been introduced by my representative, Mr. Hawker. As a lifelong Alaskan, I've enjoyed a fine education at South High, King Career Center, and I'll graduate from UAA in May with a degree in welding and non-destructive technologies. We need new energy for Alaska to lower heating costs, particularly in the interior of Alaska, but also in other locations, including Anchorage, where I reside. We also need to provide high-paid job opportunities to folks like myself who like to learn and even more so love to earn. Let's get energy for Alaska and get Alaska moving again. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maloney. Any questions for Mr. Maloney? Is there anybody else out there on any of the networks, Legislative Information Office, OffNets, Galactical, whatever? Well, hearing none, we'll close public testimony. We will have some invited testimony, including one member from District 6 asked for the City of Valdez to have an allotment of time. We'll have continued presentation and the ability for the members to question the leadership of the Development Corporation, AHFC folks. So don't think we have anything else before us today. We had allotted an abundance of time and even planned to go in the evening if necessary had there been a response of more public testimony. Let's see, for tomorrow's schedule, we have back again tomorrow morning. We will continue that presentation of this bill, House Bill 4. Well, I think the folks from AGDC are pretty nimble with their ability to respond, and we're waiting to hear from the mayor's office in Valdez whether it's our intent to try to have this to make the necessary committee changes through our usual committee process and have the opportunity to perhaps report the bill out towards the end of the week, but if that's what the will of the committee yields, so. Sooner than later for folks, if you have specific folks you would like, please, and continue to send in the questions. We'll keep funneling those to the appropriate folks to be prepared so you can, when you ask those, they can hope, well, it's our intent, they better be able to respond to them, given the advance notice of the questions. That's the intent of the process to provide the efficiency, and certainly other questions that aren't necessarily haven't been pre-written are certainly part of the process as well, but that's to yield a more efficient process, not to constrain it but to aid it. With that, then on later in the afternoon we'll have the gas trucking bill back up, as well as Senate Bill 12, a procurement bill. That'll be at the end of the calendar. It's our emphasis to make sure we pass House bills out first. And House Bill 112, the film subsidy legislation, presentation on that, and public testimony as well. We'll continue our aggressive two-a-days and longer meetings than today, I think, for the future. And with that, there's no other questions. We will stand in adjournment. We'll see you tomorrow morning.